You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Okay, we're here on another episode of the New Churches Podcast. I've already had Craig Hazen on the podcast when we talked about apologetics and had a super helpful conversation as well. By the way, always you can find in the show notes links. So we'll put, even though our topic is going to be prayer today, we'll put links to the last episode when we talked about apologetics and more information about what Craig does. So, and again, he's the founder and director of the master's program with a concentration in Christian apologetics at Talbot School of Theology at Biola University. I have the privilege of serving alongside with him as the dean, and I just very appreciated it. It's kind of one of our key programs here. It's the largest apologetics program in the world and one of our key programs here at Talbot. But one of the things that you may not know is, because I'm still learning as I get to know people, is Craig is also a man who loves prayer, and I love that. And so a few years ago, he wrote a book called Fearless Prayer, just right before the pandemic. And he was leaning in on John 15:7, probably one of the earliest verses that a lot of us memorized. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you will and it will be done for you. So, all right. So there's a lot of that verse. Here you are. You're used to making, complex apologetics arguments. And that verse has been misused by a lot of people, but so beautiful and quoted by so many. What's going on in this verse, Craig? Well, first, thank you for joining us. But what's going on in this verse and what's Jesus promising here?
Well, thanks for asking. So I was sitting in my comfortable Bible reading chair, which is actually just right over there. I get up early in the morning. The rest of my family sleeps in. And so I'm reading through the Bible, and I get to the Gospel of John, and that's always a treat. And I get into chapter 15, and I read this verse, and I've read it many times before, but for some reason, it really jumped off the page. And you already quoted it, but it bears quoting again.
Please.
If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. What in the world?
Yeah.
So suddenly this, wait, because I've discovered that I found it easy just to pass by some passages in scripture that I don't understand, thinking that one day I'll get, it'll be revealed to me, I guess. Well, this one, the Lord wouldn't let me move on. So I had to sit there for a while and study that. And then I went off. I'm like, it must have been a 10-year journey asking people about this particular verse, because I'm clearly missing something. I mean, this is something that was spoken by Jesus in the last hours of his life on earth. He's got his disciples around him. He's teaching them. He's giving them all these final lessons. And he throws this at them. And it seems to me that it's got to be really important and not just something that we hope we understand one day. So I went on a bit of a journey to try to understand it. And my colleagues in apologetics and philosophy thought I was a little bit crazy. They thought I was out of my element, I'm not the guy who wanders around campus wearing a scratchy robe or something, like a real prayer guy. But
we actually, when you say that, we're actually thinking of John Coe and Kyle Strobel when he says that,
exactly,
just so
right.
You know. So we can name names here, our spiritual formation folks. But yeah, but that's why I love it. But keep going.
Yeah, so I started to dig in. What I came up with is I put it in just a little book called Fearless Prayer, and I made it a little book so that people would actually read it.
Right.
And it doesn't cover all the ground in prayer, but it covers that verse. And that verse is multiplied in several spots in the New Testament. So it's not just a one time and throw it away. So I think I landed on what Jesus was actually talking about. And it took me a bit of a journey. I had to go through four major objections that people have to this passage in order to arrive at what I think Jesus was really getting at. But just from the words itself in verse 7, it's a very exciting passage if understood properly.
Yeah. Short books, by the way, are the best books. I've never written one of those like shorter books that people like. When I was at Lifeway, Tom Rainer's like, you got to write one of those shorter books. He wrote, you know, this one that sold a million copies. And people love, because they love to, you can digest a significant idea, which is what you're doing here. You're digesting a significant idea about prayer. So let's lean in on what that is. You know, and particularly when you talk about fearless prayer, again, the title of the book speaks of fearless prayer. So lean in and explain to us how this verse is related to fearless prayer and really how it might speak to the pastors, church leaders, church planners that are listening to the conversation.
Yeah, well, point number one in the book is a really important one. In fact, it might be worth the price of the book without even getting to the argument on John 15:7. And it's the idea of prayer. What is it? I actually asked that question to start with. What is prayer? And so I dove in, and it's a very simple concept. It's asking for stuff from God. It's asking for stuff from God. In fact, Dallas Willard said, the picture of prayer that emerges from the life and teachings of Jesus in the Gospels is quite clear. Basically, it is one of asking, requesting things from God. And Richard Foster of Celebration of Disciplines fame wrote a book on prayer, and he took this one step further. He said that there's a lot of folks out there who just get caught up in the idea that asking for things, especially things that apply to your well-being and your life, is really not where the action is. In other words, Foster says this: some have suggested that while the less discerning will continue to appeal to God for aid, the real masters of the spiritual life go beyond petition to adoring God's essence with no needs or requests whatever. In this view, our asking represents a more crude and naive form of prayer, while adoration and contemplation are a more enlightened and high-minded approach, since they are free from any egocentric demands. This, I submit to you, says Foster, is a false spirituality. Petitionary prayer remains primary throughout our lives because we are forever dependent upon God. It is something we never really get beyond, nor should we want to. The Bible itself is full of petitionary prayer and unabashedly commends it to us.
Fascinating. I mean, even to the point where, like, it's right at the Lord's, give us this day our daily bread. Yeah. I mean, the idea of ask. But I will tell you, when you were reading that quote and talking about adoration and dwelling on God, and then said, that's wrong. I kind of, when you were saying it, it sounded right. But then, because we don't think, is it not to some degree selfish to make our prayer primarily about us? Of course, that verse kind of also seems to imply, maybe I'm inferring, that there's a connection between if you're remaining in me and my words remain in you, the kind of things that you're going to ask for are going to also be different as well. Am I misreading that?
No, that's right. I don't slip that into the first pages of the book because that's kind of the mature part at the end of the book that people have to come to terms with. But we still have to deal with that promise that Jesus made in John 15:7. And so I went through four objections in the book. The first one was the problem of association with the word faith movement or the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. A lot of mainstream evangelicals stay away from that verse. They're deflected from it because it. Some people will think they're associated with the word faith movement, the health, wealth, prosperity gospel. And it turns out that that's actually a big deal. That's what I probably put that as the main reason people don't engage this verse on its own terms. Sure. Because they're afraid of that association. Now, I don't mention in the little book much about the problem of having to wait for these things.
Okay.
You know, there's always that, but I think that's really the biggest obstacle that we're going to bump into. And along those lines, I remember praying for 10 years for one particular family incident, you know, just that God would intervene and resolve the situation. 10 years of laboring. It was the top thing on my prayer list for 10 years. And I just kept praying. And then one day, boom, it was just done. It was gone. It was solved. I didn't do anything. In fact, I couldn't do anything to help it. And God just intervened and changed the situation. So he gave his wise counsel to me to make sure I continue to pray and to wait, because he will do those things and he will be very faithful.
Love that. And I love the emphasis. This is, you know, for me, I guess I'm a person of action, which sometimes in sinful carnal times and ways means that I need to be reminded to lean in on the depth of fearless prayer. Now, here's the reality. This audience is a lot more like me because they're church planners, and there's kind of a personality type that goes into church planning. It's a little much. You know, we take them through assessments and we're looking for mavericks and self-starters, and then we're shocked and offended that they're difficult to supervise and don't always become people of intense spiritual formation. So kind of talking to that audience, what would a go-getter kind of church planner, pastor type, what would it look like if that person, let's say it's a team member or, couple doing this together, what would it look like if they were people of fearless prayer? Kind of, because I want people to listen and say, well, I want to be that person of fearless prayer like Craig describes. So what would it look like tomorrow if they were to seek to be that person of fearless prayer? Walk us through that.
Yeah, I think picking up anything written by George Mueller would be helpful.
Yes.
Fantastic. George Mueller prayed constantly. In fact, his journals recorded 50,000 prayer requests, and that's quite impressive. But honestly, that's not the thing that really grabbed my imagination. The thing that grabbed my imagination in the works of George Mueller, a famous prayer servant, was that of those 50,000 prayer requests recorded in his journal, 30,000 of them were fulfilled within 24 hours of the request being made.
Wow.
So that's not like the long-term waiting. He was just on a roll. And I think people who need quick answers for difficult church planting situations, God's right there. He is Johnny on the spot. He wants us to be prepared to wait, but he's kind of a God of action. He likes to see his glory in his work that he's doing in the snap of a finger. It's just amazing. And George Mueller really does a great job of putting that on display.
Yeah, so then for me, I want to grow in this area, and I want to, and just kind of my last question, kind of talk to the church planners and invite them into the kind of life that you're talking about. Again, just remind everyone the book, and you can get the book. Book came out in 2018. It's called Fearless Prayer: Why We Don't Ask and Why We Should. I want to be that person. So I want to ask and I want to trust and I want to obey the Lord on this journey. So just speak to the people who may not be naturally inclined to be people of fearless prayer and exhort them to do so in kind of our last part of the show. Segment.
Well, that's me. I wasn't inclined to wrap my arms around fearless prayer. In fact, that wasn't really the title of the book originally. I thought the perfect title for the book was Ask for Anything and It Will Be Done for You. I thought that would fly off the Christian bookstore shelf. You know, in fact, you could put that one right by the cash register to tease people. And this actually goes to the problem of the word faith association problem, in that the publisher ended up not wanting to use that particular Bible verse. Ask for anything and it will be done for you, even though it comes directly out of the Gospel of John. They thought people will get confused. They'll think it was written by somebody from the Word Faith movement. But that's just a sideline. For anybody who's church planting or doing discipleship work or just deeply involved in cutting-edge Christian ministry, you've probably been recommended this before, but I'm recommending it again to get a simple prayer journal out, not to write long-handed prayers. My wife fills up gigantic books full of these things. I would never do that, but I do just write small bullet points so I can refer back later and see what God has done. I got to tell you, that has been a huge boost to my prayer life. I'd done it in the past, but I never did it as consistently and with a focus to the fact that these things I'm asking will actually be fulfilled by God, especially those that are prayers that are focused on serious fruit bearing and kingdom movement forward. When those are on the line, it's like, wow, I can't wait to see this happen. Can't wait. God's going to be totally in this, and I'm going to stand back and just watch him do his work. I think that's what Jesus was getting at in these last hours before his death as he was talking about abiding in him and making those kinds of requests.
It's a good word. It's a good word. I think that's what he was talking about, too. So thanks for taking the time, Craig Hazen. Become a good friend and excited about what we're doing in apologetics, but love the fact that you have a passion for prayer. Again, the book is Fearless Prayer, and encourage you to pick it up as well. Thanks for listening to this episode of the New Churches Podcast.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.